Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name to each one this morning. I really appreciated that devotional. I think there was a lot of truth in there. I also appreciated what William had to share with us in devotions this morning. And one thing that he said that I wrote down that really hit me is, we will not experience inner peace simply because our questions get answered. And that's a really profound statement. I think my tendency is to look for answers. I want to know why. And I think there's a lot of truth in that statement, that just because I found out why, that's not what's going to give me peace. It's going to be seeking after God. Title of my message this morning is Live with Dedication. And this message is particularly intended for youth. But since all of us still feel, and I know you don't believe me, I didn't believe people either when they said it, when they were old and middle-aged, and they said, oh, I still feel like I'm 17. I didn't believe them at all because they were old, but you do. So there you are. So hopefully we can all find something in here. I'm not looking at anything specifically. There wasn't anything that I looked at you youth and I thought, oh, they need this. Oh man, I can't wait to throw this at them. I didn't look at any person like, oh, I really hope they're in church this morning because, I really want to. Wasn't that at all. So if there's something that I say that convicts you, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit, because I'm not intending this for anyone or any specific thing. Living with dedication, there was a little incident that I had, a little story that I read about Gurkhas. You know what Gurkhas are? So Gurkhas are warriors from Nepal, and for many years they have been associated with a branch of the British military from back when Britain had their colonial holdings in India and Nepal. And the Gurkhas were known as very, very fierce and intense warriors, very brave. And at one point, there was a detachment of Gurkhas that was asked to go jump out of a plane into the jungle. And I'm not sure exactly what was going on there. I know it was in Indonesia that something was happening there, and the British military said, hey, we need some Gurkhas in here. We're going to need you guys to jump out of a plane into the jungle here to help deal with whatever this was that was going on. I'm not condoning the military by any means in saying this, but these Gurkhas were very dedicated to their warrior heritage. And they talked about this for a little bit, and then they said, yeah, we're willing to do this, but if you could, don't fly more than 100 feet off the ground and over a swampy area. And the leader said, well, that's not going to give time for parachutes to open. And they said, oh, well, you hadn't said anything about parachutes. So that's living with dedication. If you're willing to simply trust something that you don't understand, and I believe that's what William was talking about this morning, that many times we don't fully understand what God is leading us into. Maybe we don't understand what our authority figures are telling us, but being dedicated to following comes with a tremendous blessing. There's a foundation that is laid in youth that serves you well throughout the rest of your life. And it bases off of 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, which says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that is the basis. Everything else needs to stem from that. Everything else needs to come from our foundation of Jesus Christ. And with that foundation in Jesus Christ comes an identity. And identity is who you are, what you think of yourself, how you feel about yourself, how you feel that other people look at you. And our identity is very, very important to us. Now, unfortunately, it's easy to, because we're human beings, to get absorbed in what other people think of us. Or maybe in something that we do. Maybe I am a maybe I am a lawn care professional. Maybe I'm like a landscaper, and I build these beautiful, you know, flower beds and water features and stuff. And I'm very, very good at it. And people, when they come up to me, they say, "Oh, I know you. You're this guy that does these beautiful water features." And that becomes my identity. Well, what happens when maybe I move? Maybe I get old and I can't do that anymore. Maybe the market shifts and all of a sudden there's no more money to be made in this and I have to do something else. Guess what's happened? I've lost my identity. And that is very, very disconcerting. So your identity shouldn't be in the things that you just enjoy to do or that you think people will look at you, because then what you will do is you will begin to do these things simply for the sake of people looking at you and saying, "Oh, this is the guy that does, you know, that. This is the girl that, you know, you can always count on to babysit," and that becomes your identity. Now, those are good things. I'm not saying those are bad things, but your identity needs to be in Christ. That identity can be transported to any situation, any culture, and any context. And you only find true fulfillment when your identity is in Christ. And young people need purpose. We all need purpose. But you need to feel like your life is going somewhere. Nobody likes to feel like, "Well, this is pointless. There's nothing that I'm living for." You need purpose. And you can only find fulfilling purpose in God and when you wholly follow the Lord. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I can tell you from experience that if you are bored with your life, a good way to change that is to wholly follow the Lord, because he will give you all the adventure you can handle and then some. Mervyn Yoder, when he was here for meetings here, what, a couple of weeks ago, or time has just gone flying, so I'm not exactly sure when it was, but not long ago, one quote he said that I wrote down is, "It is the overwhelming desire to keep and not lose the presence of God or the Holy Spirit that keeps us from sin." And that is where our identity is, when it's completely with God. So live with dedication. We're never a failure if we do our best. If you do something wrong, make it right. Get up when we fall. Keep going. And there are some fundamentals then that I believe follow us through life, some things that are important as we engage with life. Deuteronomy 32, verse 29 says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." All that means is think ahead. A wise person thinks ahead. Thinks about the decision that they're making right now isn't just about right now. The decision that you're making right now is actually something that's going to have ramifications later on. So think 2, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead. If I do this, what's that going to mean for the next step? What's that going to mean for the next step? How is this taking me in a direction that I'm comfortable with? Jerry said in our Sunday school class this morning something that I thought was very good about deceit and self-deceit, that we can become deceived when we make a logical decision to go against our conscience. When we make a logical choice to go against what we know is right, we open ourselves up to deception, to being deceived. Desire truth more than being right. Listen to the truth whenever you encounter it, wherever you encounter it, and from whomever you encounter it. It's easy for us to have some people that we like and we're willing to listen to them, but then there's some that we don't like and we're not willing to listen to them. Whenever you hear truth, implement that truth, regardless where it comes from. Be willing to be wrong. There's nothing that is going to destroy you by saying, "You know what? I was wrong. You were right." Now, it might destroy some ego, but that's actually a good thing. So be willing to be wrong. That's how you learn, is by being willing to make a mistake. Now, you don't purposefully make a mistake, but if you do, that's okay. You simply acknowledge it. Okay, that was a mistake. You gave me some advice over here. I saw one thing as this young lady was saying that she had gone against her whole life some advice that her mother had given her. This was about eating healthily. And she said, you know, it's not going to help. She had some of these health problems, and she said, but it's, you know, and she got so sick and tired of her mom telling her to eat healthily that she actually moved to a completely different country, and eventually went to the doctor for these health issues, and the doctor told her to eat the exact same foods that her mom had told her to. And so she did, and she was so upset because it worked. So be willing to listen to the truth. Be willing to be wrong. That's how you grow. There's nothing that you know everything about, as unbelievable as that may seem. There's nothing that you know everything about. There's somebody that knows more about that topic than you. And none of us know everything about everything. Some of us know some things about some things. Some of us know very little about anything. And then some of us know a lot about one thing. But nobody knows everything about everything. And you don't know everything about one thing. Okay, I know there was a lot of things going on there, but I believe that you got my point. Principles remain constant in spite of changing circumstances. There are things that change if you go into a different context, if you go into a different culture, but principles do not change. Understand the principles of the Christian life. Understand the principles that are behind the things that your parents, that your church are asking you to do. If you do, when you go into a different culture, when you go into a different context, it's not nearly so disconcerting because you know what the principle is behind it, and you understand then what is a valid or an invalid application. Think beyond yourself. Look for ways to benefit those around you. Expand your horizons. Grow. Build endurance. Reuben Yoder said at the fellowship meetings this spring, he said, endurance is turning dry, barren places into pools of water for our lives and the lives of those coming after us. Build endurance. Push through the hard things. Make choices today to become the man or the woman that you want to be at my age, at ages older than me. Those choices start right now. If you see someone that you admire, talk to them. Ask them what choices they made when they were your age that led them to where they are today. And make those choices now to become the person that you want to be. If you wait until you get to that age and then suddenly expect that you're going to become that person, you will have a very, very disappointing realization ahead of you. Know where to go for the answers. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then be humble. There's something that I read. I don't know where this came from. I had written it down years and years ago, and so I'm not sure where I got it. But it's, knowledge humbles a great man, astonishes a common man, and puffs up a little man. So be humble. Again, none of us know everything about anything. And as part of humility, recognize the fact that you have limitations. It's okay if you say, you know what, that is more than what I can do. Doesn't mean you shouldn't stretch yourself. You expand, you grow your horizons. But if you need some help, it's okay to ask for help. There is no shame in saying, you know, I know this is a good thing that I want to do, but I'm going to need somebody to help me do it. I don't know how, or I don't know how well enough. There's no shame in that. I think it's. I don't know how it is for ladies, but I know for guys, it's a little bit easy for us to feel like we should know, especially when we see people around us that seem like they know. It's embarrassing to have to say, you know what, I'm going to need some help with this. I don't know how to do this. It's okay. Be humble about what you do and don't know. And then relationships. Psalm 48, verses 12 and 14 say, walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And that's talking about the things that you do now that have a bearing on the people around you. What you see, what you experience, how it affects those around you. And not just the ones that you know right now, but ones that you don't even know yet. Those that will come after you. If you get married and have children, the decisions that you make now will affect your children. Live life in a way that when your children ask you about the things that you did, that you don't have to be embarrassed. And again, if you have done things that you would feel embarrassed about, be willing to be wrong. Admit it to them. I did this. It was bad. It was not a good decision. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life. Things that I hope my children don't do. I hope they can learn from my mistakes. I'm not proud of them at all. But the choices that you make now will have a bearing on others, the ones that come along. And there are some fundamentals, I believe, to relationships, any relationship. And, you know, I'm not going to have nearly time to go through all of the everything that everybody should know. These are not things that I just thought, oh, you know what, I'm so glad that I have all this knowledge and I'm just going to impart it to a bunch of youth who don't have it. These are things that people have told me. A lot of this is stuff that I wrote down throughout the years as people told it to me. So I'm passing stuff on that other people gave me. But there's some relationship fundamentals, and I don't have time to go through all the fundamentals of relationships, but there's three things that I want to talk about: respect, trust, and empathy. That you need to have those three things if you want to build relationships, any relationships. And under respect, our responsibility and accountability for all our actions is ultimately to God. Now, you are responsible right now to your parents, and you are under their authority. You can circumvent them. You can pull the wool over your parents' eyes. You can make them think you're one thing when you're actually something else. You can do that to all the authorities in your life. You absolutely can. You are smart enough that you can deceive your parents. And your parents know this because they were smart enough that they could deceive theirs. Ultimately, your parents are not your authority. They are right now. But ultimately, your responsibility and accountability is to God. And you will never circumvent God. You will never pull the wool over his eyes. So think about that as you're making your decisions, as you're thinking about the things you should or shouldn't do. You know, I think I can do this and sneak it past my parents. Well, you probably can. But that's not ultimately who you're accountable to. Your parents get their authority from God. That's who gave it to them to give to you. And ultimately, that is the authority that you're going back to. So remember that. Listen to your parents. If there's something that you disagree with them, talk about it with them. Discuss. Discussion is an exchange of knowledge, but argument is an exchange of ignorance. So don't argue with your parents. Listen to them. If you must argue instead of discussing, then your point is probably weak. This is something else that I had written down, I don't know how many years ago, but I know it was long before I was married anyway, that somebody must have had it in a message, or maybe one of my teachers in Bible school, but it was, people who talk by the yard and listen by the inch should be kicked by the foot. So listen. Listen to what your parents have to tell you about. And this is also true in any relationship. So this isn't just in a relationship with authorities. This is relationships with each other, too. In your youth group, in relating to your younger siblings or just other people in church. These are important. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man, is what it says in Colossians 4, verse 6. And then trust. Part of trust is openness. That's how you build trust, is by being open. If there's a wall there, you can't build trust with someone when it feels like you can't get to them. So if you want to build trust with your with your friends, with their church, with your parents, with anybody, you have to put those walls down. You have to be open. You have to have an openness to talk. And as a note to parents, you know this from when you were youth, but sometimes it's easier to talk to someone who isn't your parent. And I don't know why that always is, but sometimes it simply is. It's easier to open up to someone who is not your parent. And sometimes I think it's because a child doesn't want to disappoint their parent. They're afraid that what they have to say may be hurtful or disappointing. It's easier to share that with someone else that they're not as emotionally connected with. But be okay with that. And young people, if that's true of you, that's okay. But be open with that person then. And be open with your parents. The fact that you are finding help here. And make sure that your parents are okay with that too. But be open. Open to talk. Be authentic. An imperfect you is better than a perfect imitation of someone else. Be authentic in your relationships. And then empathy. Look for ways to benefit those around you. Remember that everyone is the hero of their own story. When you are having a conversation with someone, if you're looking to make a new friend, if you talk about yourself the whole time, that's not going to go over super well. People come away from conversations feeling good about the conversation if they've had the chance to talk about themselves a little bit, if they've had a chance to talk about things they enjoy a little bit, and if they've had a chance to talk about greater ideas a little bit. So remember that in your conversations with people as you're trying to make friends. Encourage them to share with you what they enjoy. But then don't turn it into an interrogation either where you're just firing questions at them. You need to be open and share as well. But remember, everyone's the hero of their own story. Be glad when someone else excels. If you see someone else that is really good at something, better than you, if there's something that they are able to do or have or experience that you can't, be happy for them. And then be kind. You cannot arrest the course of a cruel word that you throw out. But you also can't arrest the course of a kind word that you throw out. So if that's what you speak, then you don't have to worry about it. And as relationships move specifically into church or the brotherhood, be involved in the work of the church and in the lives of other church members. And something I'm going to challenge you to specifically, and older ones, I'm going to include you in this the other way. After church, every Sunday, every service, Sunday, Wednesday evening, Sunday evening, whatever, talk to someone you would normally not talk to. Outside of your age group, if possible. Actively push into those relationships. I have such good memories of sitting where Denton and Tyler and Douglas, where you guys are, and sitting behind me were some of the men that are there now. There were also Emery, Harley, Dan P. There was a bunch of them back there. I have such good memories of standing up after church and those men coming and just showing an interest in my life. They didn't share deep words of counsel with me. They didn't ask probing questions about how I was doing spiritually, but they were just interested in my life, and I treasured those interactions. And that's one of the things that I think I missed the most when we had our first child and I moved to the back, is that here I was just with my friends again. No, I didn't. I love being back there with my friends. But that is something I'm going to challenge you. And then I'm going to reverse that. The rest of us, talk to someone in an age group that you may not normally talk to. That's a way to build a relationship. Don't expect perfection from yourself or from those around you. People mess up, and that's just the bottom line. They do. Here recently, had a cow that had a calf, and I needed to move the cow and her calf over to another pasture with the other cows. She had gone back into the woods, and she needed to be moved out. And And so I went down there with a side-by-side and just, you know, very gently and slowly. I didn't want her to get her riled up, you know. Started moving her, and she moved out, and the calf, you know, staggered along behind. It was pretty new, but it could walk, and went fine and dandy until they went down into a creek. And there were some very nice, you know, gradual slopes in this creek that the cow could easily have taken her calf through those gentle spots. But no, she found one that, you know, the bank had eroded. It was a steep drop-off, and she could, you know, lumber down over the side and clamber up the other side. But this little calf got down in there, tumbled to the bottom, and it could not get out. And it was sitting down there and very, you know, disconcerted, and its mom had totally disappeared. And so I climbed down in the creek there, and I picked it up, and I scrambled up the bank. Well, guess what happened when my head appeared above the top of the bank carrying this calf? And the cow had noticed that her calf wasn't with her anymore. She became very concerned, and she demonstrated her concern with aggression. And so she charged. And so I, you know, set the calf down, you know, here, you can have it. You can have it. I, you know, this was actually for you anyway. Well, the calf now had come to kind of like me. Thought, hey, you know, here's somebody that saved me from this. I was stuck down here. And this guy came and just out of the blue hauled me up here, and I kind of like him. And so it started coming after me. Well, that's really not what I wanted at all. And it's not what the mom wanted at all. But instead of coming and you know, just taking care of the calf nicely, she came after me. Well, of all things, you know, here I had been. Anyhow, long story short, they were reunited. They went back on over to the pasture where they needed to be. But I thought about, you know, whose fault was that? Who could I blame for the fact that this cow was down in the creek? Or this calf, I mean. Or that the cow, you know, I had this little turmoil and angst going on. Whose fault was it? Well, you know, it was kind of the cow's fault because she took the calf down the creek. But at the same time, it was kind of my fault because I, you know, chased him and chased her down there. And it was also kind of the calf's fault because it followed me when it should have gone following its mom. My point is, there's blame to go around. Nobody's perfect. There's responsibility that gets shared in every negative situation. And I could blame it all on the cow. It's 100% her fault. She went and had the calf over there. She didn't get it out, you know, yada, yada. Could also blame it totally on me, you know. I could have left it totally alone. And instead, I chased it down into the creek. And not only that, then I, knowing that if the cow saw me holding it, it would charge me, I did it anyway. Oh, man. And so there's plenty of blame to go around in negative situations. Remember that there's multiple aspects to everything that happens. There's also the aspect that who helped the calf get where it needed to go? Well, I did. Also, the cow did. The calf wouldn't have gone there without her. And not only that, it would have done no good for me just to pick up the calf and take it and drop it in the middle of the field without its mama. It needed her to take, it needed the mama to take care of it. So while there's blame to go around, there's also good to go around. So just remember that. Not everyone's perfect. There's blame, there's responsibility, there's a claim that gets shared, and that's how it is in church too. So there's very few things that are that black and white. Remember that that nobody's perfect, but we work together. And if there's something that you don't understand, you need to ask why. Ask it with an open heart. Being willing to have it explained to you and not enjoying the explanation because it might be right. As you're interacting with your parents, the same thing is true. If your parents expect something of you and you want to say, why do I need to do this? Be willing for the explanation to make sense and then follow it. Preacher David told me many years ago, he said, it's okay to ask why, it's just not okay to ask why. And when dealing with your parents, listen. Again, there's nothing that you know everything about. If you disagree, listen to what your parents have to say. They want your best. They want the best for you. Your mom and dad aren't as old-fashioned as what you think they are. Just because they might have had rotary dial phones. Actually, no, I don't think any of your parents had rotary dial phones, but I still remember a rotary dial phone, so. Consider that your parents have been where you are, but you have never been where your parents are. And so remember that in perspective. They are, even though it may not feel like it, they are. It's much easier for them to see your perspective than it is for you to see theirs. And then in other relationships like dating. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. If you're dating, if you start dating, keep God in focus. Places that you go as a dating couple, environments that you place yourselves in. And guys, I'm going to specifically talk to you here because you are responsible for the protection of your girlfriend. When she's with you, you are responsible for her protection. And that's spiritual protection, that's physical protection, that's emotional protection. So the places that you go, the conversations that you have, the things that you do, take care of her. Make sure that your interactions are glorifying to God. And use dating as a time to get to know each other well. Talk, have meaningful discussions about important things, not just shallow surface conversations. There's only, my brother Joseph told me this years ago before I started dating Lydia. He said, there's only so long you can talk about the weather before you're going to get bored. So have meaningful conversations. Make sure that you actually can connect on a meaningful level. And you need light conversations, of course, but you also need to talk about the issues that are going to affect you deeply. What are your goals for life? What are your date's goals for life? Do you ever see yourself going on the mission field? What are your relationships like with your parents, with your guardian, with your church, your friends, your employers? Do you have the same convictions on different issues? And then, remember, dating is about finding out whether or not you're compatible. So if a dating relationship ends, that is not a failure. That's a success. It means the experiment worked. We found out we're not compatible. And I understand, I know firsthand, the personal pain and trauma that comes through that. But God will never take something away from you in that unless he plans to give you something better if you follow through on his plan for your life. And then simple godliness. Romans 12 verses 1 through 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's own holiness is our standard. Principles remain constant in spite of changing circumstances. Your most important relationship is going to be your personal relationship with God. Cultivate a personal prayer life with God. And then grow. Allow God to talk to you. Listen to what he has to say to you. Live with dedication. You're never a failure if you continue to do your best. And then simply living your life, practical godliness. 1 Peter 1, 15, 16, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 John 2, 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The basis for our actions is God's own holiness. Right actions don't mean that a heart is right, and we hear that very often, and that's true. Simply doing the right thing does not mean that someone's heart is right. Yet, on the flip side, it's not quite the same way. If our conduct is not right, that does mean that there is something in our heart that is not right. Practical godliness comes through in music, in clothing. Modesty applies to men and women, both. Clothing is purposed to be tasteful rather than tawdry. I saw or heard a standard that a church had for for dresses for women that I thought was very good, and that is long, loose, and lovely. You can dress attractively without dressing to attract. I think you understand what I mean with that. When you deliberately accent the body, that's immodesty. Dress with class. And then in finances, you need money. Of course you need money. We all need money. But don't let the idea of money or of luxury or of this way I can buy whatever I want to buy, self-indulgence, don't let that idea be what drives you. And if you strap yourself down with payments at a young age, it does limit your effectiveness. It makes it difficult for you to go on a mission project, on the mission field. It makes it hard for you to go somewhere to teach. Things like that if you're strapped down with big payments. So think about that and the things that you buy. And the amount that you have, the amount that you make, doesn't determine your happiness. Some of the richest people in the world are some of the most unhappy. Riches are comparative. To most of the world, I am rich. To a lot of the world, I'm average. And then to others, it's a marvel that I'm barely scraping by. So remember, riches are comparative. Don't have competition in your possessions. That comes from pride and jealousy. And when you give much more wisely if you give to the need, not to the people. Keeps you from being political. In associations, in your friends, do what's right, not just what it takes to fit in, because that's going to change and leave you high and dry. Look at ones that you admire, older ones or peers. Build friendships with those that will build you up, not those that would tear you down or erode your convictions. It's easy to get into things, and I know this from personal experience, easy to get into things with a group of guys that you wouldn't get into on your own. I have jumped off of higher cliffs when I was with a group of my friends than I did when it was just me by myself. Because you egg each other on. Oh man, you can do it. That's not that high. That's not that high. You know, the water's deep, you know. It's easier to get into things with a group of people than it is by yourself. Some things. So build the kind of friendships that will be beneficial. And watch out for peer pressure, of course. Be friendly and kind to everyone. Treat everyone just the same. Avoid exclusive or elite groups or cliques. And then think, be smart. The difference between genius and stupidity is that genius has its limits. In your associations, the places that we go, expand your horizons wisely. Grow, but grow wisely. Seek advice if you're wanting to go somewhere or do something. Seek advice from your parents or from those that you trust. Mission trips can be beneficial, but if you go on a mission trip, go somewhere to serve, not just so you can come home with a great story. And if you're uncomfortable taking your dad or mom or someone like that that you respect or trust to some place that you're going, it's probably a pretty good sign it's not a great place to go, because your surroundings do affect you. So be wise and righteous in the places you go. So in conclusion, make choices today to be the man or woman that you want to be. Always keep growing. Live with dedication. Now, life is not a mathematical formula. If you memorize this message that I just gave, you will not be successful. Because I didn't deliver you a formula that if you follow it perfectly, you will now be successful. That can only come from a personal relationship with God. That is the foundation. Your identity and relationship with God. Life is not a mathematical formula. Matthew 6:33 again says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So follow God, follow the Bible, live with dedication to God, and he'll give you identity, fulfillment, and purpose. Let's kneel for prayer.